This is an audio archive edition of Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, SeavillePodcast.com.
I am proud to welcome into the studio the one and the only Kay Peasley. Welcome, Kay.
Well, thank you very much.
Let's get you a little bit closer to that microphone.
All right. Is this good?
There you go. And I say that, but you probably already know that, having once been a broadcaster on WINA.
It's a long time.
And just so for folks who may have moved to the area in the last few years, remind folks who you are and, well, when you came to Charlottesville. Let's start
there. In 1972, and my husband had been the consul general in Halifax, Nova Scotia, in the Foreign Service, and he retired, and we moved to Charlottesville so that he could attend law school at the university.
Oh, fantastic. So what was it like coming from Nova Scotia to Charlottesville in 1972? That's a big move.
It was warmer.
That's a big, big move, though.
Well,
what was Charlottesville like in 72? This is pre-downtown mall when you could actually drive downtown.
Yes, everything was much simpler and less sophisticated than it is now. But we had been living for 5 years in Halifax, Nova Scotia, which... Nova Scotia is not one of the great cosmopolitan centers in the world.
A little off the beaten path, I guess.
Yes. But it was quite a switch to come from Canada to the United States. For example, I've always been a rather ardent feminist. And when I was in Halifax, they had appointed their first woman to the Supreme Court in Nova Scotia. But when I came here, I discovered they had never even thought of such a thing in Virginia.
And I really, some would say they still haven't, Kay.
And I really found Charlottesville less advanced in many ways than Halifax, which is sort of a remote place.
Yeah. Now, in 1972, when you and Sandy, your husband, got here, Charlottesville was still, some would argue, just a small little sleepy college town. This was before the downtown mall. This was before,
right,
10 years before Fashion Square Mall.
Yes.
15 years, almost 20 years before Walmart.
Yes.
Barracks Road Shopping Center was the place to shop. That was it.
Yes, that's
and,
right.
And West Main Street was still a vibrant shopping district at the time, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. And I'll never forget after they built the mall, and I had started the Observer in 1978, and the first Christmas season in 1978 was the all the big stores had deserted the downtown and gone out to Route 29 North.
Yeah.
And the place was like a funeral parlor.
Downtown. Yeah.
It was so sad.
Well, when I got here in 88, 89, downtown, I was telling you in the break, downtown mall after 4 o'clock was a ghost town. The only thing down there alive was Miller's. You know, and there was a little light coming out of Miller's with a little music, and that was it. And as much as Lee Danielson rubbed people the wrong way, he did some good downtown, you know, with the ice park,
yes,
and the movie theater. He and Colin Rolfe both, they did some good. And we were talking about how, you know, developers often rub people the wrong way, good or bad, because they represent change.
Yes.
And you've certainly seen your share of changes here in Charlottesville in 36 years living downtown.
Yes, and much of the change has been for the good, I think, because downtown Charlottesville was really very small potatoes, and now it's so vital, so lively, so cosmopolitan. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Now, what's your opinion about having lived downtown now for almost 40 years? What's we're talking with Kay Peasley, by the way. What's your opinion about this talk of all these new 9-story high-rises, one of which has been approved, and it looks like all the others will probably be approved. And they're talking about, you know, half a dozen new, for us, skyscrapers changing the Charlottesville skyline.
I think it's too much. It's going to completely wipe out the view from the mall of the mountains, and it's going to make it like a canyon there with all these high buildings. It's going to be very depressing.
Yeah.
And I,
now, what do you say to folks who say, well, Kay, people said that about the downtown mall. They've said that about every change. There were folks who hated UVA Hospital when it was built in the mid-80s.
Oh, but everything in moderation. The idea of building all these nine-story buildings on the downtown mall is too much.
So maybe one or two would be okay.
Yes, yes.
We're talking with Kay Peasley, a longtime resident of Charlottesville, moved here in 1972. Let's take a break for some local news. And speaking of local news, when we get back, I want to ask you about the Observer newspaper, which recently disappeared as the Siva Weekly and the Hook have become more well known. But for decades in Charlottesville, it was the Observer was the local weekly that folks would always pick up. It was Charlottesville's first free weekly. And, well, it was paid or free?
It was paid.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that. You founded that with your husband, Sandy, in 1978. We'll discuss that when we get back. We're talking with Kay Peasley here on News Radio 1070 WINA.
You're listening to the podcast of Charlottesville Right Now with Poi Barefoot. Podcasting of the show is made available by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network.
We're talking with Kay Peasley, longtime resident of Charlottesville. She moved here in 1972 with her husband, Sandy. And let's talk about The Observer. 1978, you and Sandy create Charlottesville's the newest newspaper to rival the Daily Progress. Daily Progress, I think, was 1896, if I'm not mistaken, and so that or 1886. Anyway, here comes The Observer. What was the motivation and what was The Observer?
Well, the motivation was coming from Halifax, where we had been involved with some people who had started new weekly newspapers there because of the stodginess of the daily newspaper, much like the stodginess of the Daily Progress. And so when I found out the situation is, my husband and I were always great newspaper readers and interested in current events. And here was such a still water, dead water, whatever. the newspaper, the radio, everything. It was just very hard for us. So
because it wasn't very sophisticated and there wasn't much of it, local media.
There was very, very little, and it was. And there didn't seem to be any discussion about what was going on locally. I remember the first election, city election that took place, astonished me because I had never heard anything about the election or knew anything about the election. I thought, this is terrible to have a local election and not know anything about it. And also when I was Sandy McAdams started a little paper called The Times of Charlottesville.
Sandy McAdams of Dedalus Bookshop.
Yes, right. And I worked for that and loved it. And I think that local news is so interesting. I had lived overseas for many years, and I had taken courses in college on international affairs and all that sort of thing. But I found that the worm's eye view of life was much more interesting than trying to figure out all these great problems of empires and so forth. So I fell in love with local politics and local things. And so that was the bug in my head. I thought we needed a local newspaper. Now, the Times of Charlottesville didn't survive. It only lasted a year, year and a half. And so there was nothing left but the Progress. Oh, and there was the Tribune, Mr. White's Tribune. But as far as really finding out what was going on in Charlottesville, you couldn't because there was just no source of news. So I decided that I would start the Observer and just print. As my husband used to say, if you want all the news that's fit to print, read the New York Times. If you want to know all the news that's local, read the Observer. So it was completely, a local thing. And it was so much fun covering all of the...
And when you say local, I don't mean to interrupt you. When you say local, the Observer was, the Brownies and the Boy Scouts and the bake sales and the swim teams and the soccer games.
Well,
and...
no, I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about the meetings, the school board meetings.
Oh, sure, sure.
And the city council meetings and the planning commission meetings and all those things that are so important.
Yeah, yeah.
And if people don't know about what's going on, anything could happen, like having a whole line of 9-story buildings along the mall. I mean, these things happen if people don't keep their eye on the ball.
And how long were you hands-on involved with the Observer? Because when I got here in 88, 89, the Observer was a big deal.
Well, Sandy and I ran it for 10 years, and then a man by the name of Bill LeSecure bought it. And he kept it for a couple of years. Then he sold it to somebody from Stanton. He was from Stanton. And then after that, it sort of fell into the hands of people who were much more interested in the bottom line than they were in local news.
Although I will say, when I was at the Siva Weekly, and was it Sidney Bertner who was the editor of the Observer at that in the mid-90s?
Yes.
She did a fantastic job. I mean,
yes.
There's a woman who really would chase a story, and great writer, great reporter,
yes,
excellent editor.
Oh, there were many great people who worked for the Observer. They were just so delighted to have an alternative to the Daily Progress.
Right. And then, of course, the Siva Weekly, Hawes brought that in, 89, I think. But that really wasn't on the map for a long time. It was sort of like a little artsy little thing for a long time.
That's right. No, the Observer was for the general reading public. It wasn't aimed at any age group. Anybody who was interested in Charlottesville and Albemarle, I wanted to know what was going on. Those were the people we wrote it for.
And how long did when did it finally fold under its last owner?
It lasted for 27 years.
Wow. Okay, that's amazing.
Yes.
To have created something that I imagine you just created at your kitchen table at one point, it was...
That's right. and what I remember, one of the first things I did was to find a place to publish it, which was a building on East Market Street. And it had at one time belonged to the telephone company. And I remember that summer spending the whole summer with some young kid helping me to pull out all the wires and things from the ceiling and from the floors that they had used when it had belonged to the telephone company.
We're talking with Kay Peasley, longtime Charlottesville resident, has been here 36 years, moved here in 1972 with her husband Sandy, and she and Sandy founded the Observer newspaper, which has since folded, but was around for a long, long time, and folks who've been around our community for a while are very familiar with the Observer, and I think a lot of people miss it.
Well, I hope so, because although we have Seville and The Hook, they are written for... a certain readership, whereas I think the Observer had everything.
Yeah, it really did. And when I knew it, when I was a regular reader of it throughout the 90s, it did have the bake sales and the brownies and the Boy Scouts and the that was nowhere else. You couldn't find this type of very local community news anywhere except in the Observer.
Well, one of the things that I thought was most important that we published and was later, they were later picked up, I think, by the Progress, were the property transfers of the sales of property and that sort of thing. And that was very important.
Yeah, yeah.
And we used to report on what was going on in the courts and who was arrested for driving too fast and that, or DUIs. We carried all that sort of
thing. Yeah, yeah. So, Kay, what's your take now on you've been watching and been a player in Charlottesville media for a long, long time. What's your take on it now with all these new TV stations and two weeklies and the Daily Progress has only gotten bigger?
Oh, I think that the Daily Progress, which I read faithfully every day, does partially a job. It could do a lot more. But for a small town newspaper, it's pretty good. And you have to read lots of things, though. So I read the Progress, and I read Seville, and I read the Hook, and I read anything that comes along, and I listen to the
WINA.
That's right, and the news stations, and so I feel. And living downtown, I feel that I'm part of the community, and I know what's going on.
And you got here before there even was a downtown mall in 72. I think they made the decision finally in 74 to do it, and
that's
it was
right.
Unveiled in 76 and then later extended westward.
Yes.
But that initial phase was unveiled in 76. So back in 72 when you got here, they were still having the debates about how to save downtown from 29.
Well, downtown when we arrived in 72 was pretty sad. And there were, all sorts of things that needed doing. And one of the big improvements was the building of the Omni Hotel, which caused a great deal of controversy because people thought that the city had spent too much money on it.
Yeah.
And now it's such a...
And they did.
I mean,
they did.
What would we do without the Omni?
Yeah, yeah. And we should say that the downtown mall worked. And at the time, back in the early 70s, they didn't know if this was... It was a gamble. They didn't know if this was going to create a viable, successful destination that people would want to go to and enjoy and live, even live downtown.
Well, I think that the city council, and particularly Mr. Hoosier, they pursued this with great... They were ardent about doing it. And there was a lot of opposition to it, mostly... As you say, people don't like change, and also people don't like to have their taxes raised.
Right.
And it required raising money from the downtown businesses, which went over like a lead balloon.
Yeah. To raise money then to take away their parking spots.
That's
what do you
right.
mean nobody can park right in front of my store anymore?
That's right.
Kay, I want to thank you for joining us, and will you come back again?
Well, if you think... I could say anything.
Absolutely.
Worth hearing.
Absolutely. Would love to have you back, and it's an honor to have you here. Kay Peasley, a longtime resident of Charlottesville, moved here in 1972. She and her husband Sandy founded the Observer newspaper, which has since changed hands a few times and is no longer around, but folks who've been around and a member of this community for a while remember that very fondly. Kay, thank you for being here.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.